What does it actually take to generate $5 billion in exactly 7 days?
I mean, that's a number that's almost hard to comprehend, honestly.
Right. For context, that is roughly the gross domestic product of a small island nation. Usually, moving that kind of capital requires, like, global trade agreements or a massive shift in commodities. But in November of 2026, it is going to happen through a plastic box with no physical game disc inside.
It's wild to think about.
It really is. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at a huge stack of industry reports, sales forecasts, and articles all centered around the gaming summer of 2026.
And there's a lot to cover.
There is. Our mission today is to understand a phenomenon the industry is currently calling the GTA 6 blackout. We're going to explore how a single entertainment release is warping corporate strategies, hardware sales, and honestly, the entire global release calendar. Okay, let's unpack this.
And we really need to set the stakes for you here because we aren't just looking at video games today. We are looking at billions of dollars in motion. This is a fascinating case study in market gravity. It's, that rare moment where one single product is so commercially dominant, it forces an entire global industry to either adapt immediately or die.
So let's talk about that gravity. The date everyone is running from is November 19, 2026.
Doomsday for the rest of the industry.
Literally, that is when Grand Theft Auto 6 finally drops. It's coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X and S.
With notably no PC version at launch, which is a huge deal.
Exactly, no PC. The standard edition is priced at $79.99, and the premium sits at $99.99.
Which brings the average consumer spend up to about $88.
Man, the forecast numbers from Newzoo, they're staggering.
They really are. Newzoo is estimating between $3.3 to $5.2 billion in global revenue.
Wow.
And that's just during the first week alone.
Billion. With a B.
Yes, with a B. That translates to anywhere from 37 to 51 million copies sold in 7 days.
It's unprecedented.
Well, for context, when GTA 5 launched back in 2013, it made $1 billion in 72 hours.
Which was huge back then.
It fundamentally broke the scale of entertainment launches at the time. And now, GTA 6 is projected to essentially quintuple that momentum.
It honestly reminds me of a supermassive black hole.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Right. Because in physics, a black hole is so incredibly dense that its gravitational pull actually bends time itself. That is exactly what GTA 6 is doing to the calendar right now. It's causing games that are normally slated for that lucrative November holiday window to physically accelerate their release dates.
Just to get out of the way.
Exactly. They're scrambling into July and August just to escape its event horizon. Because when everyone on Earth is migrating to Vice City, who has the time or the money for anything else?
What's fascinating here is how the analysts at Newzoo categorize a release like this. They call it a proven sequel.
Okay, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah. Well, it means this isn't a new intellectual property that has to build word of mouth over weeks or months. It has a fiercely dedicated audience that has been waiting over a decade.
Right, people are already sold.
Exactly. The calculus changes. These players aren't waiting for reviews to drop, and they certainly aren't waiting for a seasonal sale to save a few bucks.
I mean, the pre-order data alone proves that, right?
Oh, absolutely. The reports show that just in the final week of June, pre-orders hit $180 million across the US and five major European markets.
Just in a week?
Yeah. Now, if you apply the player distribution ratio from GTA 5, knowing that historically about 69% of the console base resides in those six specific markets, Newzoo estimates that global first-week pre-orders are already sitting around $260 million.
Wait, let me make sure I'm wrapping my head around this math. $260 million just from people reserving a copy months in advance.
Yes. And here is the kicker. Historically, pre-orders for these proven sequels only account for about 5.8% of cumulative launch week sales.
You're kidding. So the vast majority
The vast majority of people still buy during the week of release. That is how Rockstar guarantees an unprecedented, entirely front-loaded revenue spike. It's an unstoppable force.
But here is a crucial detail about this unstoppable force that we cannot skip over. GTA 6 is an entirely digital launch.
Right.
Even if you walk into a brick-and-mortar retailer,
Yeah.
hand over your cash, and buy a physical plastic box, there is no disc inside.
None.
It is literally just a piece of paper with a download code. And this aggressive corporate push into a digital-only reality is sparking an intense war right now over physical media.
It really is the death of the disc versus the indie rebellion.
Yeah.
You have massive corporations leveraging this transition to phase out physical media entirely, and you have consumers pushing back hard.
Take Sony, for example. The reports highlight their highly controversial decision to halt all PlayStation 5 game disc manufacturing by January 2028,
which is approaching fast.
And the backlash online has been fierce. Every time Sony posts on social media right now, their replies are just flooded with angry comments.
Oh, I've seen them.
And it's not just their gaming division. Crunchyroll, which is owned by Sony, is scaling back its physical storefront. They are ditching anime Blu-rays for curated drops and collectibles that are restricted only to their Mega and Ultimate subscription tiers.
Which heavily alienated their longtime fans, particularly the collectors who have been utilizing the Right Stuff International catalog for years, long before Crunchyroll acquired them in 2023.
It's just erasing history, in a way.
Yeah, and you also see Microsoft pulling a similar maneuver. They are putting Halo, Campaign Evolved on PlayStation, which, by the way, is the first Halo on a Sony platform.
A historic industry shift on its own.
Exactly. But the physical version of that game won't even boot up unless you connect to the internet and download the actual content. The disc is essentially a key, not a carrier.
But let me push back on this corporate narrative for a second. If the future is supposedly all digital, if that is supposedly what consumers actually want because of convenience, then why are gamers scrambling to buy a $70 physical indie game right now?
Ah, you're talking about the phenomenon around Mortal Shell 2.
Exactly. Cold Symmetry, an independent studio, drops this Souls-like sequel.
Yeah.
First of all, they shifted their release date to August 20th just to avoid the GTA 6 black hole.
Smart move.
Very smart. But then they put out a $70 physical revered edition. It comes with a steelbook, a physical art book, some art cards. And it completely sold out for the PS5 within 48 hours across the US, the UK, France, and Japan.
It was wild to watch.
The studio literally had to put out a public statement saying demand greatly exceeded their expectations, and they couldn't even guarantee another manufacturing run. So why are people fighting over a steelbook in 2026?
Because Sony's impending 2028 manufacturing deadline is creating immense artificial scarcity and, frankly, a lot of consumer anxiety.
That makes sense.
When you buy that Mortal Shell 2 Revered Edition, you aren't just buying a convenient way to play a video game. You are making an investment in true ownership.
You actually hold it.
Right. You hold the steelbook in your hands. It cannot be delisted from a digital storefront because of a licensing issue. It cannot be altered or censored via a mandatory server update.
It's physical proof that you own the art.
Exactly.
Sony is definitely feeling the heat on this policy, even though they still have heavy hitters lined up to keep players in their ecosystem.
They do?
Like, they have God of War Laufey coming, where you actually play as Faye, Kratos' late wife, navigating the afterlife.
That looks incredible, by the way.
It does. Debrianne Woll, who voices Faye, had this great quote about the pressure of following up the main series. She said, "It's okay if it's just not your cup of tea, but in no universe is it bad."
I love that confidence.
Me too. Plus, Sony has the Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced update, and they're adding cross-save functionality to the RPG Crimson Desert. So they're trying to offer prestige experiences to justify their digital pricing.
But while Sony is locked in an ideological battle with its own most dedicated fans over the future of discs, its primary competitor in the hardware space is experiencing explosive, record-breaking success.
By doing the exact opposite, right?
Yeah, by doubling down on a unique, closed hardware ecosystem.
The Nintendo Switch 2.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers in these reports are wild. Mm-hmm. 6 million units sold in Japan alone, an estimated 25 million units globally. It is already cementing itself as one of the most successful console launches in history.
And they are driving that hardware adoption with an incredibly strong software lineup that you simply cannot play anywhere else.
Right.
You have Mario Tennis Fever, which just got a free Super Mario Galaxy update in July. You have Rhythm Heaven Groove effortlessly crossing 500,000 copies.
And we have to mention Dench Attack. Because, well, instead of just listing these games, we need to talk about how bizarre and creative they are.
Oh, Dench Attack is amazing.
It's an arcade action game where you pilot a train at impossible speeds and do Tony Hawk-style flips and grinds.
Which sounds ridiculous, but plays so well.
Eurogamer called it essential. Rock, Paper, Shotgun put it on their best of 2026 list. It thrives entirely because the Switch 2 ecosystem supports these weird, vibrant, Golden Age Dreamcast energy titles.
Absolutely.
Oh, and From Software, the legendary team behind Dark Souls, is running an 8-player multiplayer closed network test for a Switch 2 exclusive called The Dusk Bloods in late August.
All of those games are fantastic, but the real technical mechanism driving this hardware adoption is a new feature called Game Share.
Okay, yes, let's talk about this.
Through the Switch 2's integrated game chat system, you can share a digital game with a friend who doesn't own it, and they can play it for 60 minutes.
Wait, stop right there. Let me make sure I understand this. You just hand your digital game over to a friend for an hour.
Yep.
Doesn't that cannibalize their own sales?
Yeah.
Why would Nintendo let you play for free?
Because it's a highly engineered viral loop. It functions as a 60-minute interactive commercial. Oh. If your friend likes the game after that hour, the interface allows them to buy it right there in the chat window seamlessly. It removes all friction from the purchasing process and turns every single player into a brand ambassador.
That is brilliant.
It is.
But it is not all sunshine in the Nintendo ecosystem. Look at the reports regarding what Square Enix is doing.
Oh, the save data issue.
Yeah. They released Star Ocean, the second story R, for $49.99 on the Switch 2, along with Octopath Traveler 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But there is zero upgrade path if you own those titles on the original Switch.
Right.
And worse, no save data transfers. Just imagine putting 100 hours into a sprawling RPG, upgrading your console, and being told you have to buy the game again and start from level one.
It's brutal.
How does Nintendo get away with a consumer practice like this while Sony gets skewered for their disc policies?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Nintendo gets away with it because they rely entirely on the strength of their walled garden. They insulate themselves from broader industry trends. They don't try to compete with Sony or Microsoft on raw graphical power or frame rates.
They never really do.
Instead, they compete on unique social features like game share and unparalleled exclusive IP.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fruits of that walled garden are so desirable, consumers are willing to tolerate restrictive practices like paying full price twice or losing save data that they would fiercely punish on any other platform.
Wow. Okay, that makes total sense. They are playing a completely different sport.
Precisely. And the contrast is stark. Because while Nintendo thrives by hiding inside its insulated garden, one of the other major platform holders is undergoing a brutal structural collapse out in the open.
Yeah, the reports on Xbox are incredibly heavy. In July, Microsoft initiated a deeply aggressive reset.
Massive cuts.
They laid off 1,600 developers, and the reports indicate they have internal plans to cut 1,600 more. That is roughly 20% of the entire Xbox workforce globally.
The studio shakeups alone reshape the entire development landscape. Double Fine and Compulsion Games have gone independent due to these budget cuts.
Wow.
Ninja Theory and Undead Labs are being actively sold off to new buyers. And the fate of Arkane is entirely uncertain right now.
But the part of this report that really made my jaw drop was what's happening at Eid Software.
Yeah, that's the big one.
This is the legendary studio that essentially invented the first-person shooter genre with Doom. They lost 136 employees in this reset. That is half the studio.
Half.
And critically, they lost 5 key members of their visual effects team.
The broader concern there isn't just the loss of jobs, as devastating as that is. The concern is the future of id Tech, their proprietary game engine.
Right.
Microsoft PR claims id Software has the staff they need, but the sources feature a chilling quote from an anonymous former developer.
What do they say?
They said, "They've just gotten rid of all the people who could ever fix or change id Tech, so it's most likely going to end up in the trash can. Success is detached from your ability to keep a job."
That is just... Watching Microsoft handle id Tech right now is like watching someone take a high-performance, meticulously engineered race car, and they're just stripping it for parts in the driveway to save a few bucks on a balance sheet.
That's a perfect analogy.
I mean, id Tech is world-renowned for blistering fast frame rates and incredible optimization. Tossing that engine in the trash is a tragic loss for the medium.
This raises an important question about the true cost of industry consolidation. We are watching decades of specialized institutional knowledge being systematically destroyed.
Yeah.
Microsoft isn't just cutting jobs. They are actively deciding that raw proprietary engine performance no longer matters in a world where game distribution is the actual product. And the cruel irony is that Microsoft is gutting these studios while simultaneously pushing to expand its user experience through Xbox Game Pass.
Right, because Game Pass itself still remains a phenomenal deal for the consumer.
Oh, absolutely.
They just added Genshin Impact to it, actually. And they rolled out the Ultimate Game Sale with over 2,000 discounted titles, plus 12 new console features. You can finally have longer gamer tags, and they are supposedly fixing the cryptic save data errors that were plaguing Forza Horizon 6.
Which players have been begging for.
Right. They also have cool exclusives still hitting the service, like Dispatch, that superhero workplace comedy that launched in late July.
But despite the consumer value of the subscription service, the core developmental foundation of Xbox is visibly fracturing. They are sacrificing their ability to create in order to subsidize their ability to distribute.
So you have Xbox structurally shrinking to survive, and you have Nintendo hiding in a walled garden to survive. But how does a traditional third-party developer survive this ecosystem?
That's the real struggle.
Because the calendar stops for no one. The fall releases are arriving. We saw major titles look at the November GTA 6 black hole and completely flee the area.
Yeah, mass exodus.
The blood of Dawnwalker retreated to September 3rd. Capcom's Onimusha took September 4th. Rayman Legends Retold claimed October 1st. Everyone is terrified of getting pulled into the event horizon.
Understandably.
But one major franchise decided to run directly into the burning building.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Modern Warfare 4 is releasing on October 23rd. That is exactly 27 days before GTA 6 drops.
Which is incredibly bold.
Normally, COD owns that late November window. Moving to late October is a strategic retreat, sure, but it's incredibly close to the blast radius.
Infinity Ward's studio head, Mark Grigsby, addressed this scheduling directly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said, "It's a lot of pressure to make sure that you're creative enough to entertain the masses. It's a little head-to-head, that's great."
Wow, they are not backing down.
They know what they're up against, and they are leaning heavily into specific gameplay innovations to keep players engaged when the gravity shifts.
The big hook they're pushing is the Kill Block map. It's a multiplayer arena with over 500 procedural variations at launch. The map literally changes its layout, its sight lines, its choke points as you play.
That sounds intense.
It does. They're also adding an AI assistant called Gunny in the gunsmith mode. This has been pretty controversial with purists, though, because having an AI optimize your weapon loadouts arguably lowers the skill ceiling for veteran players.
Sure, I can see why they'd be upset.
And on the tech side, the game is pushing absolute boundaries. It supports PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution for the PS5 Pro, unlocked frame rates with a variable refresh rate, all running at 4K. Plus, local split screen is back.
And we should translate what those technical specs actually mean for the player experience.
Yeah, break that down for us.
Utilizing PSSR, which is Sony's new AI upscaling technology, basically means the game uses artificial intelligence to guarantee buttery smooth split-second visual reactions.
Which you need for Cadmi.
Especially when that 500 variant kill block map is dynamically shifting its geometry in real time. It's built entirely for speed and precision, but it's not without criticism.
Right, there are some issues.
Players in the early tests are pointing out excessive visual recoil, the removal of some classic combat mechanics to accommodate the new pace, and, of course, the $70 standard price tag.
Which brings me to the million-dollar question for you, listening right now.
Yeah.
Are you willing to drop $70 on a competitive multiplayer shooter, knowing that in exactly 27 days, your entire friend group is going to pack their bags, migrate to Vice City, and likely never come back?
It's a tough sell.
Because between the summer filler games trying to survive,
like Pro Jank Footy and Blaze Blue, Entropy Effect X.
Right, and Obakairo 2, Volcano Princess, and IRA. Wallets are already stretched incredibly thin. So what does this all mean? Call of Duty isn't running from the black hole. It's firing its thrusters right on the edge of the event horizon. Why?
It means we are witnessing a battle of two entirely different gaming philosophies.
How so?
Call of Duty is relying on its procedural generation with Kill Block and a hardcore, rapid-fire competitive loop to retain players through sheer adrenaline. It demands daily engagement. It's a sprint.
Yeah.
GTA 6, on the other hand, is offering an expansive, highly immersive, and likely solitary initial experience that will consume players for months before they even touch the multiplayer component. It's a marathon.
I see.
Kali is betting that players will want quick, intense, 10-minute competitive matches as a palate cleanser between their marathon sessions in Vice City.
It is a phenomenal gamble.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back at the landscape we've just traversed today,
mm-hmm.
the sheer scale of the industry is breathtaking.
It really is.
We have gone from the indie rebellion of Mortal Shell 2 fighting Sony's all-digital future with steelbooks and art cards. We have unpacked Nintendo's hardware triumph with the Switch 2, utilizing viral loops like GameShare to build an impenetrable walled garden. We watched Xbox endure devastating structural layoffs, sacrificing the legacy of id Tech to fuel the Game Pass distribution model. And now we're watching COD take a daring 27-day head start against the impending $5 billion juggernaut that is GTA 6.
The pieces on the board have never moved this fast, and the survival strategies have never been this diverse.
Which leaves us with this final thought. A question for you to mull over as we approach November 19th. If GTA 6 proves that a completely digital $100 video game with merely a download code in the box can generate $5 billion in a single week, will the rest of the industry ever look back?
When that singularity hits and the gravitational pull is finally realized, are we currently witnessing the very last summer where traditional physical game ownership and traditional studio structures even mattered?
The event horizon is closer than we think. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.